This podcast is brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. Thanks for listening.
The sermon from today is taken from John chapter 1, verse 1 to 14. I'm going to invite Mason up to help us with that, after which Pastor to deliver today's sermon.
If you're using the Bibles in the service hall, the passage can be found on page 1063. We are reading from the Gospel of John, verses 1 to 14. I shall begin reading John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, the children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is God's word.
All right, many years ago, my dad came back from this European cruise. He was really excited, and he called us together as a family, and with great fanfare, he told us that he had bought this really expensive sculpture from Italy. And so this is the picture of the sculpture, right? We were holding it, we were passing it around. And, you know, he was full of wonder at this sculpture. So, you know, at our recent church camp, we have this game in our finale night where you're supposed to guess the price of things, right? So, as you look at this sculpture, how much do you think this sculpture is actually worth? Okay. So, this is how much actually worth. The sculpture itself is worth 20,000 euro, and the base is like 3,000 euro. And so total, in our hands as we were passing this sculpture around, was like 32,000 Sing dollars. And obviously, my dad thinks that this sculpture is really worthy of its worth and wonder, because he has it, as you can see in this picture, right in front of him in the living room. Now, I wonder whether we feel similarly about Jesus. Are we kind of like full of wonder at the worth of Jesus? Because that's what today's passage is all about. What is the worth of Jesus to us, which is really appropriate right now as we come to Christmas time. So we're going to look at John chapter 1, which is right at the very, very beginning of the book of the Gospels and the Gospel of John here. Okay? So it begins, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Now, if you look at these verses, they are full of poetry, symmetry, and artistry, right? So you can actually see the poetic symmetry in the highlights that I've given you here. Right? In the beginning, the Word was there. The Word was with God. And right, this very center is the Word was God. And so obviously, the Gospel of John and the writer John wants to tell us three really important things about Jesus. And the first thing is, in the beginning was the Word. Now, if you consider our own lives, we have a beginning, but we also have an end, right? We have a birthday, right? We're born a certain time, and we die at a certain time. But Jesus is completely different from us, and that's where the Bible emphasizes to us the difference of Jesus, because He is pre-existent. He is outside our time and our space. He is, in a sense, immortal, infinite, and He is eternal. Whereas we are mortal, we are finite, and we are part of this time. So that's what makes Jesus special to begin with. He is outside of time. In the beginning, Jesus already existed. The Bible then also tells us that He was with God. Now, what does that mean that He was with God? Now, the Bible's conception of God is that God is actually one God in three persons. Okay, that's the Christian understanding of God. There is one God in three persons. And so Jesus the Son is in special relationship with God the Father. In the beginning, Jesus, the Word, was with God. Now, this is really important because it means that the only way we can have access to God is through Jesus, who is with God right from the beginning. Now, the third thing that is mentioned here is the Word was God. The Word was God. And this is like the central part of what is being emphasized here. Jesus was with God right from the beginning. And Jesus was God all along. Now, I remember when I was in school, I was, I guess, in a sense, fortunate to go to school with some people who had really prominent parents. And, we, you know, people say, oh, do you know who this person's father is? Do you know who his father is? But it's not as if Jesus has this reflected glory from God, right? Like, you know, He is like God Junior. And, you know, God the Father is like God Senior. Jesus was God in Himself in every way. And that's why when we think of Jesus, He is the big G God. He is not like a minor God. He's not like a minor God under God the Father. He is God in Himself. Now, this is emphasized to us in the very next verse, in verse 3. Through Him, all things were made. Nothing was made that has been made. Again, you can see how good a writer the writer John is. He's like using poetic language, right? In the positive, everything that's ever been made was made by Jesus. Nothing that has been made in the negative sense was made without Jesus, right? Without Jesus. Escape this thing, right? So nothing that's ever been made was made without Jesus. So that means basically he's just saying everything has to be made by Jesus. Now, this is really phenomenal because it means that Jesus must truly be God, because part of being God is to be all-powerful, omnipotent. Right? That's what omnipotent means, is to be all-powerful, and Jesus creates all. Now, that's why Jesus is given the name the Word. Isn't it a bit strange? Why is it the gospel about Jesus begins with Jesus as the Word? The reason why Jesus is called the Word is because right from the very beginning, God creates through Jesus as He speaks. But He doesn't just speak, He speaks through the person of Jesus, the Word, through whom the whole world is actually created. So in these first two verses, we are told these really, really important truths about Jesus. He is infinite, He is eternal, He is immortal. He was with God from the beginning, and He is God in Himself. Now, when I was on sabbatical, I was in London for many weeks. And as I was coming back, I actually went on holiday with my wife to Eastern Europe. And when we were in Eastern Europe, we visited a lot of cathedrals. And it's really interesting because when you go to these cathedrals, you see a lot of sculptures of Jesus. But how is Jesus represented in these sculptures? So this is Jesus, okay? I think this comes from one of the famous cathedrals in Prague. Okay, so how is Jesus actually depicted? He is depicted as a baby, right? And often, if you go to a lot of the cathedrals, this is another picture of Jesus. Jesus is always pictured as a small baby in a massive Mary, right? Like, so, you know, like kind of sometimes the size is a bit out of shape. You have these really big Marys and a really small Jesus. I wonder why is it that when we think of Jesus, often people portray Jesus as a baby. Nothing wrong with that. But it's only weird, right, that he should be remembered as a baby, even as he is this infinite God, he is with God, and he's God in himself. Because after all, when you think, look at me as a 56-year-old person, do you identify me as a baby? No, right? I mean, when I look at you, I don't think of you as, okay, a baby. And when I look at your Facebook picture or your WhatsApp profile, I don't see a baby picture. Because you were only a baby like for the first 6 months of your life, but then you became something else. And if Jesus is like pre-existent and he was there in the beginning before even creation came to the world, then Jesus as a baby is like one slice of an eternal life. So why is it we think of Jesus in these terms, like he's just baby Jesus? Because in a sense that domesticates Jesus, it tames Jesus, it lowers Jesus, and it kind of reduces the wonder that we have at the worth of Jesus. So the first thing we see here is that Jesus really is worthy of wonder because he is infinite with God, and he is God in himself, creator of all. Now the section then moves on in the next verse where it says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Now, this idea of life is being repeated over and over again in the Gospel of John. But what does it mean, life? Because we already have life. I have life. You have life. The animals have life. Why does Jesus come to give us life when we already have life? Well, if you actually look in the Gospel of John, the idea of life is often referred to in three ways. Life in the Gospel of John refers to eternal life. But not just eternal life, but sharing in the divine life that is found in God in himself. And also in the life in the age to come. So whenever we read life in the Gospel of John, we think of life not as life today, human life, but eternal life, divine life, and life in the age to come. We can see this in this passage in John chapter 5, which we will look at next year. And look at what it says there in John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, it says, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but is crossed over from death to life. Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear it will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And here we see those three elements coming in, right? Jesus says, if you hear his words and believe in him, you will have life, eternal life, not this life. And this life is something we have now, but something we will truly possess in the age to come. And this is the life that we will receive as part of the divine life that God the Father gives to the Son. So here's this life that God is going to give us through his Son, Jesus. But how do we receive this divine life, eternal life, and the life that is in the age to come? Well, Jesus says he is the light. He is the light of life. He's the one who shines and shows the way to gain this life with God. And that's why you can see here in this passage, it keeps being repeated, right? Over and over again, how Jesus is the one, in verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone in this world. Now we see it again here in this passage in John chapter 8. It says here, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So he's the light, right? So the light is showing the way. Right? That's what light does. Light shows the way. But what does it show the way to? What does this light shine the way to? It shows the way to eternal life. He is the light of life. He is the light that shows the way to get this eternal life. Now, this is really, really important, and especially at funerals. You know, when you go to funerals, if you actually pay attention, invariably there will be this quote from John chapter 4, verse 6. I'm sure you all know, right? I'm the way and the truth and the life. I wonder whether when we go to funerals, we actually ever think about these words, or they kind of like just are sitting there and we kind of like, okay, we assume the way, the truth, and the life. Now, often when we think about these words, we can think of it as Jesus is three distinct things. There are three facts about Jesus. Jesus is one, the way. Jesus is two, the truth. Jesus is three, the life. But I remember reading about this verse and actually saying, this commentator was saying that there's another way of reading this verse. That it's not really saying three different things about Jesus, but it's really shading and emphasizing the more important reality that Jesus brings to life. Because Jesus is the way, right? But what is he the way to? Like, I can tell you I'm the way, but then the question is, but where, Andrew? Where are you bringing us? Where is this way going to? Jesus is the truth, but the truth to what? So when you actually look at the sentence, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, is it really emphasizing three distinct things, or is it trying to say that Jesus is the way and the truth that leads to life? Now, this is really important because, again, the Bible says that Jesus is exclusive in showing people to the light of life. He is the light to everyone. He is the light to the whole world. You will not get this life except through Jesus. It is exclusive to Jesus. And that's why it's so important that we see that this is what's happening at Christmas time, right? That when Jesus comes, he is the light that brings and shines people the way to life with God, that to share in that divine eternal life. And this is for the whole world. No one comes to that life except through Jesus. Now, many years ago, some of you know I was studying in Australia. And when I was studying in Australia, the most powerful man there was this guy called Kerry Packer. Kerry Packer was like the equivalent of Elon Musk in America today. So he was like super duper powerful. Just to give you an idea how rich this guy was, he owned the number one TV station in Australia, which is like the Nine Network. But not only that, I mean, that's not very impressive, you might think. He owned land. So he owned more land in Australia than the size of Belgium and Europe. Now, we have trouble conceptualizing more than 1,300 square feet, right? Which is our HDB flats. But can you imagine owning land the size more than a country, Belgium and Europe? Like, just how rich would you be, right, to be able to do so? He owned the Crown Casino in Melbourne, which is like their Marina Bay Sands in Melbourne. So he, like, imagine someone owning Marina Bay Sands in Singapore. And on top of that, his news empire owned like 45% of all the magazines on sale in Australia at the time. So just how rich this guy would be amazing, right? But the problem is this Kerry Packer, he suffered from heart problems all his life, and he suffered this massive heart attack. And so he was only kept alive because there was this guy called Victor Chang, who was this really, really famous and prominent heart surgeon who was voted like the Australian of the century. And he basically saved this really rich man, Kerry Packer, and kept him alive for the rest of his life. But what was really sad was this guy, Victor Chang, was actually murdered in a botched kidnapping by these Malaysians, right? So it was a really sad story. And as a result, Kerry Packer Because he wanted to remember Victor Chang, he actually said that he would appear on his own TV station for half an hour to talk about his life and his relationship with Victor Chang. And at the time, Australians thought, wow, this is amazing, right? That this guy would give half an hour, the richest man who's like this reclusive gazillionaire, would give his time to actually share with the Australian people. But I remember thinking to myself, I was thinking, Carrie Packer gives you half an hour, and you know, these Australians were really like amazed by it. But imagine God, right? God, who is infinite, immortal, he's transcendent, he's omnipotent, comes into the world not to give us half an hour, but to give us eternal life, to give us life and to share the divine life together with him, and to actually give us the ability to come to him. Now, obviously, that's like so fantastic and so tremendous. But that's what Jesus actually does. He is God in himself, come into the world to shine the light of eternal life, to share this divine life with us. Do we really understand what Jesus has done? Do we, you know, are we filled with wonder at the worth of Jesus and what he does for us? But last of all, I want to focus on verse 14, and this is a very famous verse. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Now, the Word became flesh means Jesus became a human. He became a human without losing the attributes of divinity and who he is. But it says that he made his dwelling among us. Now, that's a really strange word, right? It's like, we don't talk this way. I migrated somewhere. I made my dwelling there. Now that we don't speak that way. The word dwelling literally is the word meeting, right? It's the idea of tabernacling. And so this actually looks back to the history of God meeting his people. Right from the very beginning, when God created his people, Moses and the Israelites, he tabernacled, or he met with his people. He dwelt with his people. It's the same idea, same word. When Solomon built the temple in Jerusalem, again, it's the idea of God meeting with his people. And so what happens here is God is actually coming into the world in human flesh in order to not have a holiday or to stay at the Airbnb, but to actually meet with us. He's meeting with us. Now, I want us to consider what it actually means for God, Jesus and himself, to come into this world to be human, to meet us. So imagine, who's the richest person in the world today? Okay, Elon Musk, right? Apparently, he's worth $46 billion. I can't even imagine how he would understand how rich he would be, like, how many zeros he would have in his bank account or something, right? $46 billion. He's like richer than countries, right? So imagine like Elon Musk deciding to dwell in the slums of Mumbai, right? In order to bring life to the slum dwellers. Do you think Elon Musk would do that? I don't think so, right? Like, would the richest person worth $46 billion give it all up to be a slum dweller and to live in poverty in order to save the poorest people? Probably not. But in a sense, this is not a even close proximity to what Jesus does, right? Because this is just one level of humanity to another. It's just from the richest to the poorest, right? But what Jesus did was he went from the highest level of being to like a lower level being, right? He's the creator down to the creature. So I was thinking to myself, okay, it's a bit like us as humans, and we kind of like allow ourselves to go down to the level, lowest level of being a creature in order to save creatures, right? So I was thinking, what would be maybe a similar analogy? It would be a bit like us becoming cockroaches, right? Because, you know, cockroaches, like the most vile and disgusting creatures I can think of. I mean, we have saved the whales, save the dogs, save the cats. But we don't save the cockroaches, right? Because we don't really like cockroaches. But it's like us becoming cockroaches in order to shine the light to give life to cockroaches. I don't think I'd like to do that. But it's more than that. It's because we see cockroaches as filthy and dirty and disgusting animals. But I think there is a similarity here because in John chapter 1, verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. See, Jesus is in himself purity, pure holiness and godliness. But we are the darkness. Darkness not because literally there's no light, but darkness because metaphorically we are full of evil, wickedness and sin. So pure godliness, holiness, light comes into our dark world in order to save us and to bring us salvation and to give us a share of the divine life. Now, how amazing is that? Right? How amazing is that? I'm going to teach you a new word today. Condescend. Now, when we think of condescend in the secular normal use of the word condescend, we think of, I talk down to you, right? That's very condescending, the way you're talking to me, or the way that you treat me, I'm very condescending to you. But theologically, condescend is actually a good word. It's a positive word. Because theologically, oh, it's a bit smaller. To condescend is where God humbles himself or allows himself to come down to our low, low level in order to communicate with us. And that's exactly what Jesus does in his incarnation. He condescends to bring himself down from being divine, transcendent, infinite, and holy creator to become a creature in order to bring the light of life to us. Now, that's something that is really full of wonder at the work of Jesus, isn't it? To actually see that God, Jesus and himself, would do this in order to bring the light of life to us. So, are we filled in wonder that Jesus is who he is? God with God, infinite, that he actually brings the light of eternal life to us. But more than that, that he actually condescends to come to meet us as a human in our dark world in order to save us. Now, in conclusion, I want us to think of us today, okay, in the now. What is the best Christmas present that someone could give you this Christmas? Or what's the best Christmas present that anybody has ever given you in any Christmas? Hey, just think about it. What is the best Christmas present that anybody has ever given you? So, you know, I asked my wife for some advice because I would never think of this. So imagine someone gave you a Birkin bag. Okay, so apparently that's quite desirable. Okay, so that would be a good present, right? If someone gave you a Birkin bag or something, some other brand bag. Or someone gave you a car. Wow, that would be a really amazing present because especially now the COE is like $100,000. That would be like a really great present. Or imagine someone gave you a house. Wow, that would be even like the most ultimate Christmas present you could ever get. But imagine 800 billion years from now into infinity, if you look back at your Christmas present of today, your Birkin bag wouldn't look very impressive after all, right? It wouldn't be worth the wonder of 800 billion years, right? Even if someone gave you a car, well, I mean, I guess in Singapore, your COU only lasts for 10 years, so I guess it wouldn't be worth very much in 800 billion years. Or even a house. Again, it wouldn't seem very impressive in the light of 800 billion years. But what would be really impressive and full of wonder worth would be knowing Jesus. Because knowing Jesus would actually help you to see what God has done to give you this gift, that God himself in Jesus, who was there in the beginning with God, condescends himself, come down to become a human, to give us this light of life. So, Today, during this December Christmas season, as we remember the coming of Jesus, his condescending to become a human, lowering and humbling himself down so that we can have the light of life. If you really believe in Jesus, then let us truly wonder the worth of Jesus. For those of you who may not accept Jesus, then for me the question is why not, right? Why not? Because the worth of Jesus is worth far more than any other Christmas present that you could ever receive in the light of eternity. Okay, let's go to God in prayer. Dear Father, as we come before you today, and we truly want to thank you. We thank you for Jesus as we remember what he has done for us and who he is and the means by which he's done it. You've made so clear from the very beginning, the very first few verses of the Gospel of John, that in the beginning was the Word. He was pre-existent, he was eternal, he was infinite, he was immortal. That Jesus was with you from the beginning, that he is God in himself. But yet, because of his great love and great generosity to us, he willingly wants to give us the light of eternal life, the light of sharing this divine life with you, the life of the end of the age. Not only that, Jesus condescended, he humbled himself and lowered himself to become a human being, to become into this dark world with us in order to share this good news with us in a really personal way. So we pray for us that we will truly be filled with wonder at the worth of Jesus. For those of us who do not yet accept this tremendous, limitless gift of Jesus, that we will consider it, we will think about it, and we will accept it because he is the light of life for everyone. And we pray for all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Time for discussion. Today, these are the questions that have been written for us. Let's take 5 minutes. How do you respond to the coming of Jesus? Are you filled with wonder at his worth? Why or why not? Let's take 5 minutes and I'll come back up.
Thanks for listening to this podcast brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. For more information, visit us online at busypc.sg.